By Judicial Decree 7, Consent Decree, written by Commander James Bondage, narrated by Elliot Daniels. Forward. It is only by an accident of history that we no longer observe the ancient Roman custom of judicial enslavement for debt or as a penalty for a criminal conviction. But what if history had taken a different path? Modern physics teaches us that there are an infinite number of universes and therefore an infinite number of Earths, some so similar as to be indistinguishable from our own, others so different as to be unrecognizable. Among the infinite number of possibilities, then, there are an infinite number of Earths where history did go in a different way than ours. Therefore, there must exist somewhere Earths with histories in which the old Roman way is still followed and slavery is still the law. This story is set in one of those histories. Chapter 1. Mjolnir's Auction House. This was Quentin Scale's first visit to Mjolnir's slave auction, and he found it a refreshingly novel experience. Over the course of many years in the business of buying and selling female flesh, first as an independent agent and later exclusively for Rupert Kane, Quentin had attended auctions all over the eastern half of the western provinces, and he thought he had seen every way slaves could be presented for sale. Part of the novelty of Mjolnir's came from the simple fact that this was the first time Quentin had crossed the border into the WP's northern neighbor, Vinland, in pursuit of new slaves. But beyond this simple geographic difference, this auction house offered some wrinkles he had never seen before. There was no denying that Mjolnir's handled certain aspects of the slave auction other than how they were done down south, and Quentin thought some of the innovations were definite improvements. He liked the many vision screens placed high on pillars all around the great hall, on which footage of the lots about to go under the auctioneer's hammer were projected. Seeing the girls nude, in color, and moving around for the cameras gave buyers a far better idea of their true value than even the best full-color printed catalogs, which Mjolnir's also provided, possibly could. Back when he had started in the business, Quentin remembered, all the printed auction catalogs contained were a few basic facts, such as age, reason for enslavement, a biographical sketch, the girl's measurements, and a black-and-white photo of her face. Suddenly, sultry music began to issue from the overhead speakers, and footlights on the raised stage in the front of the big auditorium came to life.
"Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the central stage," the announcer's amplified voice boomed from the speakers. "Mjolnir's auction spring premium sale is about to begin. Coming down the ramp now is item number 1 in your buyer's guide, Mrs. Dorothy Hansen. Mrs. Hansen is 25 years old."
Quentin let the auctioneer sales pitch roll over him unheeded as he watched the statuesque blonde walk down a long ramp to the auction block. Although he had not come to Vinland to buy Mrs. Hansen and had no intention of purchasing her, after his long career in the slave trade, he automatically evaluated this newly enslaved young housewife. She had a provocative hourglass shape, large and reasonably firm breasts, and a slender waist that looked even smaller when contrasted with the curving bounty of her ass and long legs. Mrs. Hansen had green eyes, a long straight nose, high cheekbones a professional model would envy, and a wide mouth which at the moment was turned down at the corners in a doleful expression. All in all, she was as good an example of pure Nordic beauty as Quentin had seen in a very long time. Her garment was another example of how Mjolnir's practice differed from the methods followed in the WP, a difference of which Quentin highly approved. Dorothy Hansen was not clad in the opaque cotton robe universally worn by the chattels at slave auctions in the western provinces, but was instead garbed in a short, translucent negligee which only reached halfway down her pale thighs and offered tantalizing glimpses of her very partially concealed flesh. Quentin thought this was a very effective way to build excitement among the bidders, who could not help picturing in their minds what they would see when the flimsy garment was stripped away. Moreover, the short nightie was in some respects even more provocative than actual nudity, suggesting, as it did, the bedroom and sex and thus encouraging the buyer's imaginations to run riot. Even Quentin, veteran though he was of literally hundreds of slave auctions, was not immune. He felt a bulge growing in his trousers as the young housewife approached the stage, accompanied by her handler, her golden hair gleaming under the spotlights, tracking her progress. Mrs. Hansen seemed to be aware of the way her revealing scrap of clothing incited the male bidders, who comprised the overwhelming majority of the crowd. At least, the flush that started at her hairline and spread down to her slender throat to disappear in the neck of her robe seemed to indicate an extreme state of embarrassment. Her obvious shame at being displayed in such a provocative outfit before the big crowd indicated an exquisite modesty which only made her more desirable and presumably made the waiting buyers even more eager to buy her. When the blushing blonde reached the circular central stage, the handler directed her to walk slowly around the edge of the stage with a touch of his black baton, affording all her potential new owners a long look at the goods. Then he summoned her back to the center of the platform and tapped one of the straps of the negligee where it crossed over her shoulder. The unfortunate blonde's eyes went wide, and she looked stricken.